Hi, and welcome to my podcast, Healing the Root Cause, where we'll be looking at anything connected to the root cause, including judgments, core beliefs, inner child, shadow self, and pretty much everything in between. And I'll show you with some real exercises the way forward and how you can become whole again. Now, this podcast is for 18 plus and may include triggers. Just be forewarned. I'm your host, Nicole. Let's begin your journey. Hey, hi there. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on when you listen or where you are in the world. Welcome, all of you. Welcome back. For those who are used to hearing me yippity-yep every time, I'm glad you could all join me. The inner child. How to heal, what to do. I mean, hasn't this little series been fun? Hasn't it? I don't know. Hopefully it sparked something in you, right? Or, at the very least, it's going to help you see this side of you as an important part, right? Especially on your healing journey, healing your past, your trauma. It also helps you to see, right, the patterns in your life that may be blocking you, that perhaps slow you down, make you feel less than. All that good stuff comes from a wounded inner child, right? In the past few days, we just had a full moon eclipse. And I'm very, very sensitive to these kinds of energies. It's almost like just the tide of the ocean as well. It's almost like when the tide is high or low I feel all the nuances in between. I've had my ass kicked real good too. It was a lot of stuff related to my inner child that kicked me left and right. Been clearing a lot of old energies. I've been crying a lot. We're Tuesday today. The past couple days, including today, I guess. So today, yesterday. The crying stopped, but before that, holy moly, it's 6 o'clock in the morning and then I just burst into tears while I'm trying to fix my coffee. And it's like, for fuck's sakes, I just want a coffee this morning. My only one cup in the morning, could this just stop, right? It's just been something. Right? In a sense, it's really funny too, but it's extremely tiring. It's emotionally draining. This morning I wanted to sit down because, the episode has been done. This episode's been done for a few days, but because of the way I'd been feeling, and even this morning, I sat down, took out the microphone, all the stuff I need, and then I just sat and I just shut my computer and I'm like, okay, looks like we're not doing this right away. Alrighty then. So I went for a nice long walk again. Make sure I stay close to nature and things like that. So I'm prepping up, I guess, to attend another funeral. This time it's my favorite uncle who passed. He passed over a month ago, but because obviously here in Canada, internment is a little bit different, maybe all kinds of North American countries where the soil freezes during winter, you can't dig a grave, So that's why my aunt waited for good weather, I guess. So pretty soon I'll be headed over there doing that. In many ways, and it's probably all related anyways, I was a lot like him. I got my love of adventure, my love of travel from him. And I remember when I was a child, when he would come back from his trips, and he would always stop by, our house, and I would just sit there and listen to his stories. Like that was the highlight, for me. That was big. And I used to be like fascinated and just to be in awe. It's like, wow, he can do all that. Look at all everything he's doing, everywhere he's going, all these wonderful places. And right. And too, like as a child, like, I mean, if I'm being perfectly honest, because I mean, even if people tell you there's no dysfunction in their family, I've said it before, they're full of shit. There's maybe one out of 1,000 where there's no dysfunction at all. But anyways, he was the only person really that made a positive impression on me growing up. Everything else was painful and traumatic except for him whenever he used to come around and stuff. And I mean, even the adults in the room had a not so good opinion of him because he was a free spirit, right? If he wanted to, I don't know, say, okay, like tomorrow we're taking off, we're going to the Rockies for a bit. We're gonna go live there in the Rockies, in the Canadian Rockies. Oh, let's go to Spain for a couple weeks. Let's go here, let's go there. Like, I don't know. He was just so cool. But the adults in the room, when I was growing up, used to, frown upon that. Like, oh, he's not responsible. He's this, he's that. He's, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, And even as a young child, I knew, well, that's his fucking business, what he wants to do with his life. Like that's what he chose for himself. And that's looks pretty fucking cool to me. And I mean, and I was a kid, 4 or 5 years old, and I vividly remember, But anyways, 'cause 2 years back when he got sick, he was just given a few months to live, right? And in true fashion, he bucked the system and he lasted 2 years. Right? Like, I don't know. Oh God, I'm so gonna miss him. I'm gonna miss these conversations we used to have all the time. And obviously, when I moved down east in eastern Canada from out west, I got to see him more often than before, and especially, which is kind of sad to say, especially when he got sick. Like I made a point of seeing him more often, even if it was over FaceTime or something. But yeah, he was my favorite uncle. I will miss him dearly, but now I've got an extra angel again. Like, geez, if I start counting, holy fuck, in the past 2 years, yeah, I got a whole bunch of angels just watching my back up there, right? And the funny thing is, because speaking with my aunt, she told me that right before his last breath, he lifted his arms in the air with a big ass smile on his face. So, yeah. You guys make what you want of that, but yeah, he was ready to go. So, anywho, enough with the mushy stuff. Sorry. Let's get back on track here with this inner child, although it is related because these are childhood memories of mine, not for you, but for me. They are. I embraced his style, his way, his how he used his free will to do whatever the fuck he wanted to do, to follow his heart. And unlike, and I know I'm still talking about it, just deal with it. And unlike my father, when my father was on his deathbed, goodness, he had so many regrets. He regretted not spending more time with people. He regretted wasting time on material things, right? Because that's where the importance was, based on how he was raised, right? And my uncle was complete opposite. Like he did not, he went without regrets. Like he lived a beautiful life, and yeah, and so yeah, so we're gonna put that to rest. We're gonna celebrate his life, because that's what it's going to be. It's not a funeral, it's going to be a celebration of his life. Just exactly. It's going to be a party. It's going to be like a 2-3 day party, because that's what he arranged before his passing, was, that's what he had arranged when he was feeling better. He goes, yeah, he says, we're going to do this my fucking way. And when I go, and you people are going to have a fucking party in my honor, and that's how we're going to have it. So I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, looking forward to it. It'll be something. It'll be something to celebrate. So anywho, inner childhood memories. A lot of people, generally speaking, don't realize that the inner child is always active, right? And just because you may have ignored this part of you, or you may want to ignore it, that there is an inner child there, it certainly doesn't mean it doesn't exist and it's not there. I guess you're simply choosing one option, one scenario. And remember here, when you opt out completely or you choose nothing, that is a choice. It's a poor choice, in my view, but you're making a choice just the same. So I'm inviting you to look at this inner child, because that little inner child is you as a child in an adult body, with the good, the bad, and the ugly. And there's nothing there to fear or ignore, really. It's not that complicated, and it is certainly not scary. Emotional, yes, but emotions are just that. They help clear the way. They clear the heaviness and all of that. So it's not complicated, not complex, not scary. So recognizing that the inner child's an active part of you is the first step in healing this aspect in you, of you, and understanding the unseen dynamic that's perhaps wreaked havoc in your life, or parts of it, right? Because make no mistake about it, the inner child is ground zero. The inner child is the script running in the background of your life. To some degree, this inner child is running the show, right? I mean, an example here, how you react to triggers, how you see others, how you see yourself, places, people. All this is related to how this inner child experienced life long ago, between the ages of what and what? Between the ages of 0 to 7, right? I mean, and here I'm reminded of when I had done a soul retrieval to bring back this inner child of mine where it belonged, and to heal my past traumas. That was an extremely emotionally cathartic ceremony for me. It was a 4-day process. Yeah, 4 days. 4 days leading me to reconnect with my inner child, to bring back this inner child. Because you know, 4 days, like, you don't do this in an hour session. And there certainly ain't no shortcuts to any healing method. There's no shortcuts. You want to heal, you have to be an active participant. You have to do this. So briefly here, for those who are not quite familiar, soul retrieval is when, well, especially for this, as a child, where trauma occurred, part of you, the little child in you, detached from you. Kind of like your computer's hard drive, right? You're going to download stuff on it, you're going to delete stuff, you're going to, move stuff around, create documents, spreadsheets, whatever, right? You do a lot of stuff on your computer and or laptop, whatever. And it leaves the disk, the hard drive, fragmented. So I guess it's a similar thing here with the soul retrieval. The ceremony works to bring back those fragments that detached following trauma you experienced, obviously, as a child. And it's almost like I had mentioned, I think, in another episode, the effects on your brain, like how your brain reacts to trauma, right? Like it, when something traumatic is occurring, your brain is going to take like the bad stuff and it's going to scatter it all over the place, fragmenting the memory of which results or develops into PTSD, right? So, anyways, hopefully I'm explaining that, but you know, everybody now has got a laptop, a computer, whatever, so you know what a disk, a fragmented disk is. So parts of reconnecting, the reconnection process of a soul retrieval is going to put you face to face with a hurt, traumatized child, face to face with your trauma or traumatic event that created the detachment in the first place, right? And remember here, a child feels emotions in a very raw manner because they're children. So, soul retrieval ceremony is going to aim to reconnect you with this traumatized child, but but not before you experience the emotions of said child felt at the time of this imprint, of this trauma. So when this child detached from you, this part, you're going to be feeling what this child felt at that moment. And these emotions are going to be very visceral, very raw, same as this child experienced. There's hurt, pain, sadness, betrayal, abandonment, name it. It is all there for you to feel what this child felt. I'm laughing, but fuck it. Oh my God. Oof. Visceral is an understatement, right? And again, when doing any kind of deep rooted healing work, please have plenty of compassion for yourself. And as I like to say, don't blame, don't shame, don't judge. So, little quick note, let me be clear. I am not recommending you go find someone to do soul retrieval with. These methods of healing are only for those who feel guided to do so, who feel called towards whatever that is. Not, it's not a shortcut, and certainly not a fucking spiritual bypass. There's too many people just trying to bypass everything, and you're not going to heal. Sorry, you're not going to heal that way. You actually have to dig deep and go look at this stuff. It's certainly not something you're going to enter into lightly, and no, it is not for everyone. Just saying. It's a 4-day ass whipping. It's extremely emotional. It's not for everyone. And besides, you have to be in a specific healthy mindset in order to accept what's going to come up in a non-judgmental way, right? Just like plant medicine, ayahuasca, it's not for everyone. There's also DMT, what people call the God molecule, toad venom, not for everyone. These methods dive really, really deep, and there's no telling. You don't know what's going to come up until you're there, right? And if you're not in a, I guess, a healthy mindset that you're like, okay, I need to heal this, and but you need to have a certain type of mindset to enter in these things so you're able to understand what's happening, right? Just like in ayahuasca. Yes, I had mentioned it before. I took part in a ceremony. I was the only participant out of 14 to have a good ceremony. I was laughing the whole time. I was being shown clowns. I was being reminded, put some fun into your healing, Nicole. Quit being so fucking serious all the time about healing. Healing's not supposed to be like ball breaking. You're supposed to enjoy the journey no matter what. So, anywho, other people didn't. So if, let's say, you're not ready, and you go into these you take these psychedelics, these things, these ceremonies, would you be ready to accept that in a past life you were a rapist or a murderer? Could you accept that? Right? Would you be able to understand or process that in another life you were burned alive for your beliefs? Would you be able to accept having a bear tear you to shreds in order to rebuild you without the trauma? And yes, those are extreme examples, but they are real, real examples of things that can come up based on, especially with ayahuasca. I mean, whatever your intention is, this person with the bear, the intention was clear. Just take out all the frickin' trauma and just put me back together without the fucking trauma. Yeah. Careful what you wish for, because that's what happened. And thankfully, there was an extremely qualified curandero, a shaman, with helpers to basically hold space for this person to support this person, to be there for them, right? Because holy crap, if nowadays you got to be very careful. There's people who'll do ayahuasca 50 times. They'll call themselves a shaman when they're not. They're not. No way. The person I had dealt with called himself facilitator. He was 15 years still working with the plant medicine, still learning, being an apprentice shaman, right? And he said, no, I know enough, but I don't know enough. So you got to be ready. So you don't just decide, to do whatever, thinking it's going to heal 20 years, 20, 30, 50 years of your fucking life. No. No. That's not being responsible. Real experts. You gotta know who you're dealing with. You gotta do your research. You gotta check everything before you put yourself in those positions, because you're at your most vulnerable when you enter into these healing methods. You're broken down to the very where your trauma began. So you're extremely, extremely vulnerable at that point in time. So you need somebody there that is trustworthy, somebody that will have your back, that will be able to explain to you, to help you when you need it most, right? That's why the only recommendation I do is whatever you truly deep down feel guided towards. That's it. I'm not recommend you do any of those shit. And please don't attempt any type of psychedelics like it's a fucking TikTok challenge. Just don't do that. Don't do that. Because even if the journey needs to be a little bit fun, some of these healing methods are to be taken very seriously for what they dig up. Just saying. So be responsible, be smart, do your due diligence, do your homework. Don't just fucking go to Peru and pick anybody without knowing who the fuck you're dealing with. That's all I'm gonna say. So anywho, for the past few months, I've been showing you this part of you that maybe you weren't, 100% aware, that the inner child had anything to do with the uneasiness perhaps you had been feeling inside. Maybe you thought the uneasiness was external to you. Maybe it's my job, maybe it's my family, maybe it's this, that. It's not. Just like any answers people seek while on their healing journey, look within. That's one of the first steps. You got to look within, you got to ask questions. And I'll say it again, many people have intuitively known they had to go for answers. Look at 2020. A lot of people, a lot of people got, oh, okay, we need to shut this down, shut that down, go within, go within, go within. Because that we got the answers we were seeking at that time. This has been a collective thing as well, happening for the past 3 years. It just seems to be getting more and more intense by the day. The more chaotic the outside gets, the more within we're pushed to go. Right, so I don't know, maybe till we get it right, maybe to force us to ignore the chaos out there, because it's not my war. I don't need to get involved in shit out there. So when you look at this inner child, this child's been through a lot. And I guess the only reason why most people are going to minimize the hurt, it's because at some point they were, well, they were told growing up between 0 to 7 to suppress the pain, suck it up, get over it, quit complaining, don't make waves, right? Which one did you hear? Maybe all of them. And a lot of men have had this done to them. Like, they weren't allowed to feel anything. They were told, be a man. Be a man. Suck it up. What does that look like for a young boy? Suck it up. Be a man. They don't know. So then they turn, like every child does. They look at the adults in the room for guidance, for cues, right? So, and what do they look like? What do they look at, most likely? An egotistical, alcoholic, porn-addicted, sniffing, misogynistic, grown-ass man. Most of the time. Find me a man in a certain age who wasn't an alcoholic, who wasn't addicted to porn, who wasn't misogynistic, who wasn't popping pills. Our fathers, our grandfathers, great-grandfathers. Right? Those were some models they picked up. Right? It's like, okay, you look at the adults in the room. You soak it up. Poor kids. And, you know, oddly enough, this is why we have a lot, like a lot, way too many men that are operating today from this broken space. They were taught wrong. They had the wrong role models. Sure, we looked up to our fathers. We all did, right? They were the breadwinners. They were the strong ones and everything. Yeah, what about the not so good stuff? That existed too. And that made an even bigger impression on those young boys than anything good these people did. And I don't know. To some extent, I get it. It's not my monkeys, not my circus, right? But I just find it sad that these men today, they don't realize that they don't have to follow that destructive generational crap. They can make their own choices today on who to be. And like I say, when you have a choice to make, always choose the better option for yourself. Always. So this inner child's going to influence your decisions later in life. In adulthood, even when you're unaware, because your inner child is part of your beliefs about yourself. The false beliefs, specifically, right? And if you deny the existence of this inner child, the hurt, the pain, is going to remind you that something is wrong. Something is off inside you. Your soul is going to be screaming at you with this inner child of yours. And this will look like an adult who's emotionally immature. They're unable to deal with life's problems, big and small. You know, they gotta reach for that drink. They gotta reach for the pills. They gotta reach for the porn. They gotta avoid. They live afraid, worried that others are going to treat them bad, that others are going to hurt them all over again, like they were hurt as a child. And those are all normal things to feel, by the way, based on being taught wrong. Those are all normal things to feel. And so all this stuff is all going to show up. These men are just going to play the avoidance game because they weren't taught how to deal with this, right? So, which brings me to fear. What are those fears of yours? What are you afraid of? Are you afraid to look at the hurt that you seem to nurture, that you hold on to so tight? Because I've seen a few of them. I can see the wound. I can see the pain. I feel the pain as an energy healer. You don't open your mouth, but your energy speaks to me. And I see your pain and I feel it. And you're holding on to it, thinking that you need to stay a victim. Well, you don't. It's fear keeping you there, right? You're afraid to let that go. What are you afraid of exactly to let go? And yes, fear plays a major role in those false beliefs that got imprinted in you about you and the world around you. Fears have a lot to do with your inner child, because as a child, fear was most likely used to control you, right? Even as adults, fear is used to control people. When you keep people in a state of fear, you control the narrative, you control them, you have power over them. As a child, yes, the adults in the room had power and control over your tiny ass, for good and bad. And as a child, or from the perspective of the child, fear of disappointing the adults in the room, fear of not measuring up to expectations, fear of not being lovable. It's all related, whether it's a fear for something external to you or fear of being exposed, fear of, well, nobody's going to like me. Nobody, if I don't live up to their expectations, right? So in this particular episode, now's the time we're going to look into what can be done to help this part of you, to help your inner child to reconnect with this part of you, to let go of the fear, the pain, the hurt. You don't need those anymore, but there are simple things. And again, I'm going to mention this quick. If therapy calls to you, if you need a qualified therapist to dig up these things, go for it. Go for it. I'm not a therapist. There's things I did following therapy, things I did on my own after, that worked very wonderfully good. But remember, if you're dealing with trauma, you need to have a trauma specialist help you with that. And yes, there's things you can do for yourself, by yourself after, but there needs to be a point where therapy is called for, and there's never anything wrong with that. Do yourself a favor, and any guys out there listening, please love yourself enough. Go talk to someone. You could do it over the phone, over the computer nowadays. You don't even have to drive anywhere to go and do it. Just, you know, give yourself a chance. It's worth it. So while we were exploring the different wounds of this inner child, we saw the four major wounds: the trust wound, the abandonment, guilt and shame, and the neglect and or disregard. Because there's, I don't know, I still see disregard being a child being disregarded. Like, you know, when you shoo a fly with your hand, like, just get out of here. Just go. Like, yeah. Yes, it falls under the umbrella of neglect as well, but there's that god-awful gesture of disregarding an innocent child. Like, it's, anyways, don't get me started on something else. I'm gonna start crying again. Ah, good Lord. Okay, second day I'm not crying. Oh, it's a good thing. So, anyways, all these four wounds affect your view of the world around you. But how you see yourself, those four wounds belong to your inner child. They belong to you. This was something you experienced firsthand, right? So, what can be done to help? Simple little thing. First thing, and this applies to a lot of situations and wounds in any person's life, really. Acknowledge the hurt. Acknowledge the pain. Even if it's to yourself only, look at yourself in the mirror and acknowledge what was done to you. What happened to you, and most importantly, say this out loud while you're looking at yourself in the mirror, but picture maybe you as a child, and say out loud to yourself, this was never your fault. This was never your fault. Sounds simple, but the reason this works, it's because every person that has ever gone through something devastating, something traumatic, there is this need to be heard, to be seen, to have others bear witness to your pain, to the pain that's been inflicted on you. You need people to acknowledge that you were hurt. And since we're talking about your inner child, look in the mirror and tell that child, this was never your fault. Start there. Because you remember, there's no law and there's no rules that state that you can't do these things for yourself, that you cannot mother yourself. I checked. Coast is clear. There's no law, there's no rules, just false beliefs and other people's voices in your head telling you, oh, you shouldn't do this. Oh, you shouldn't be like that. Just shut them down. Shut them down. So, here with this little thing, you really, really have to take your time with the acknowledgement. And the reason being, because at first it's going to feel weird, like you're not going to truly connect with that part of you, with that innocent child, if you just say it. You need to really connect with the child. You need to visualize. Better yet, if you have a picture of you as a child, tape that picture in on the mirror and look at that child, speak to that child. Right? But you got to keep doing it until you feel you're connected to your inner child. Probably until tears start falling, until you start feeling it. Right? And I'll say it again, if this is too much, find a therapist to help you. If you're a man, I understand you were taught to suppress anything emotional, really, anything sappy, sappy and or sucky, I don't know. So your first instinct when you're going to start to connect with this part of you, your first instinct is going to be to clam up, to walk away, to shut down everything, and to push away the entire thing, like, oh, this is so fucking stupid, I'm not going to do this. Right? Especially as soon as you start feeling some emotions welling up inside. Right? And you're going to be hearing that voice from your childhood telling you, suck it up. Men don't behave like that. Well, tell that voice to shut the fuck up. And I'll tell you suck it up now. Not the same way they told you, but you suck it up in the sense that ignore the fear, put it away, just say, that's nothing. That's nothing. I'm going to be okay. They're just tears wanting to come out. I'm going to be okay. I'm not going to break. Nothing. I'm not going to break. Everything's going to be fine. Right? Because that you see that little voice in the background, probably from an adult in the room, right? You're going to hear that voice, right? And then you're going to start feeling the shame all over again. You're going to be shamed. So, sweetie, shut the voice down. Don't listen. Keep talking. Keep that the focus on the little child, right? Because if a child is hurt, you're going to want to help them, right? That empathic good part of you in you, you're going to want to take care of that child because no one took care of you, of this hurt in you. So think about it that way. Shut that little voice down. Preferably if you do this by yourself, you know, when you have ample time, enough time, do it in front of the mirror by yourself. Say it again. This was never your fault. I'm so sorry. This was never your fault. Say it for as long as you're not crying. As soon as you start crying, fucking open the floodgates. Allow that release to come, to get the fuck out of you. Allow it to go out of you. Same thing for the women. Women were just, we're not as scared to cry, right? Because this has been normalized for us. Men are slowly getting there. Men who have been told not to, right? Not to acknowledge any, not to face any kind of emotion, right? To just be a block of ice or a rock or something, right? So just keep saying it to the little child in the mirror. This was never your fault. And keep in mind, whatever trauma that comes up to your mind, keep that there while you're saying it. This was never your fault. Say it. Just feel it. Let the tears come. Right? And I guess that's why I say do this on your own. So there's no one there, first and foremost, to interrupt you. No one to tell you to stop doing that. No. Do what you got to do to heal this, to get rid of this pain, and to reconnect with your inner child, right? Nobody needs to see you do this. Nobody needs to know that you are taking care of yourself, probably for the first time in your life. Again, I'm speaking to men here. And that's very brave of you. If you're doing this for the first time in your life, you're recognizing that you do have emotions, and you're wanting to express that, then fuck, good for you. Good for you. Keep doing that. Even if it's by yourself, you don't need to tell no one you're doing this, but do it for you, for that little child inside you, right? And again, be careful who you let in about this. Even if you say, oh, this is my good friend from... No, I do not recommend. If you want to tell somebody, tell a therapist. Do not tell anybody close to you, even if you consider them a friend. They will not understand. And besides, people, sometimes people can be your friends, right? But they're going to have a vested interest in not wanting you to heal, not wanting you to move forward in your life, not wanting you to be well, right? We've seen that in the shadow archetypes, that misery loves company, right? And people that are not healed, well, they don't want to be left alone. They don't want to be left there. So keep this to yourself. Write it down, right? Because everybody's got toxic friends, you know, that are just waiting to discourage you from moving forward, from ascending, from becoming a better person, or the real version of who you know you are. They're going to discourage you from doing that. Don't tell them. Don't tell these people. Because then all the good work you're trying to do, it's not going to happen for you. So... I don't know. I don't know. I have a specific person in mind and I just want to hug them right now. I just want to hug them. But I'm not gonna. Because if I hug them, Even if it's just in my mind's eye and energetically, if I say I'm gonna start crying again, I'm gonna start crying. I don't want to do that again. I've done enough crying in the past few days. So, but I'm, you see, I'm good. I'm not broke. I'm not broken. Nothing broke, right? It just cleared the way, heavy emotions. That's all it cleared, right? Made me understand something better after I cleared the gunk. So be kind to yourself when undertaking this simple process of saying, this was never your fault. That's very powerful. Keep repeating it until you start crying, and then just let it flow, let it out. It'll be cathartic for sure. So, and repeat that as many times as emotions come up. And here, if it's anger that comes up, and anger will come up, be careful how you handle anger, right? Don't overwhelm yourself. And please deal with one emotion at a time. Just acknowledge, yes, I'm feeling angry right now, but I don't want to be angry. I don't want to hurt nothing, no one. Like, yes, I'm angry right now because of what was done, but speak to the child. You had every right to be angry for what they did to you. You have every right to be angry, and I'm sorry you're feeling this way. Keep talking to the child. Keep talking to the child. Acknowledge the emotion. If you don't know what to name that emotion, that's okay. Do your best, describe it, or just keep repeating. This was never your fault. Right? Don't overwhelm yourself. Start dealing with the tears, because that'll be the first emotion, sadness, probably, that's going to come up. Right? It's going to be that you're going to feel sad. That's always the first one. Let that flow. When the tears stop, write down why you felt sad. What was it? What did the sadness bring up? Write it down, journal, right? And I know this might be a foreign concept to men, but just humor me over here. Give it a go. Those kinds of things don't need to be complicated. It's just simple little gestures that mean and will feel like a lot in you. So, and you might actually like to write down those emotions that have been foreign to you all your life, but now you're seeing them down, and it's going to help at the same time to get the stuff out of your mind, out of your head, right? Because men tend to overthink everything, and it's going to help you to stop the hamster wheel going round and round. And okay, why am I thinking this? Why am I thinking that? What I'm thinking this and that. This, write it down. Write it down. Get it out of your head. Write it down. Right? So you could spend an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, however long in the bathroom doing this in front of the mirror. Unless you have a portable mirror, go sit comfy in your favorite chair. Do that there. But don't put a time limit. You will know instinctively when you've released enough, when you've dealt with enough, even if it's half an hour. Be proud. Be proud you did that much. And you're like, just slowly get used to that and say, ooh, okay, that was something. That was a lot. Oh, wow, you know, it felt like 5 hours and it was just like 15 minutes. But that's okay. Don't judge yourself. Don't blame. Don't shame. Remember that compassion for yourself, you know? And then the next day, next time, do it again. Take it up again. Say that again. And then maybe you'll last a little bit longer. Other stuff is going to come up, but one emotion at a time. Don't overwhelm yourself. If shame comes up, if guilt comes up, all these things are going to come up. When they come up, you're feeling it. Just breathe. Breathe and say, okay. Okay, why am I feeling guilty? Why am I feeling this? Why am I, you know, probably because you were told to suck it up, to not, you weren't allowed to feel, remember? And always keep in mind, go back, put your eyes back on that picture of that little child, you as a child. Go back to the child, nurture and love that child, right? So write things down. And so just do this little ritual if you can, obviously. Nighttime is always a good time, when everything is maybe more quiet or something like that. I don't know. Maybe this, maybe after doing this little ritual in the mirror, draw yourself a nice hot bath with bath salts. Could be Epsom salt as well, because it'll help you to release even more if you put bath salts in there. If you're not a bath person, not a problem, take a shower and then just go to bed. But make sure you put all your impressions, everything you felt, everything that kind of came up for you, write that down before you go to bed, right? Grab that notebook, write it down. What made you sad? What bothered you the most? What came up? Write it down, right? Then have a good night's sleep. Then the next day, or whenever you feel like it, could be a couple days, by the time you just let that shit go, you kind of sit with that a little bit. Just close the notebook and look at it again. Reread what you put down when you feel ready to do it, right? And just tell yourself, okay, I'm done for today. I'm not going to look at this today. Today, gonna distract myself with other things, then come back to it. Don't just ignore it, because again, one time you're not gonna clear much in one time, and you need to stick to that. Just that simple little thing, and trust what comes up for you, what you feel, right? Just trust that feeling in you. I don't know. I don't know if it's just me, but I happen to be a very visual person. To me, any ceremony, a ritual, something that I can physically see, feel, experience, to me, it makes it easier to release, to acknowledge, right? And a lot of men are visual creatures as well. So use that to your advantage. Create your own little ritual around that. Like, if you know you're going to do this again, I don't know, in a couple of nights after you started, make it into a ritual. I don't know, have your supper, go for a walk, turn off the phone completely, maybe put a bit of music. I don't know. If you want to take your shower before doing it, do it, but just create a little ritual, something just for you, for your inner child, right? Maybe there was something as a child, a little treat at night that you really, really wanted, and either it was denied for some reason. Gift that to yourself. Recreate these little nuggets that put a smile on your face as a child, right? Remember that. Write these things down for yourself, then go to the store, get it, whatever. If you want to get a freezy popsicle, some, favorite ice cream, whatever, just go for it. Go for it. Again, nobody needs to know you're doing this. I don't necessarily recommend you tell your supposed friends, because you never know. You never know. I had a friend for 10 years. And that friend turned out to be a snake in the grass. That friend turned out to be, major snake, major betrayal for me. And wow, I just couldn't believe it. She went through the lengths she did. And I still can't believe it. And I'm like, for fuck's sakes, for 10 years. I considered this woman my friend. Wow. Wow. So be very, very, don't tell nobody Oh, yeah, but it's a childhood. No. Everybody's got a vested interest in keeping you unwell, in keeping you behind, keeping you from. Because if you move away from toxicity, from negativity, from these types of people, they don't necessarily want to be left behind. So they're going to do everything to discourage you. Oh, why are you going to do that? So don't bother. Keep that to yourself. Keep that a little secret between you and your inner child, right? So, anywho, create a ritual around it, right? Because when something is done, for me, anyways, when it's a ritual, it's something physically that I'm an action. The action itself, it's signaling to my brain, okay, you're closing the book on this. You're healing this. You're doing like it's confirming to me, right? It's kind of like making a declaration. That's it. I'm done. I'm doing this. I'm releasing this. That means I'm gonna be done after. I'm gonna, So maybe approach it like that, right? And make sure you rest in between you do that. And it's funny because it's like, because all these ceremonies, these rituals, and I'll bring it back again. Funerals, internments. How many people are not crying when they see the casket going down in the ground? There's not many dry eyes out there, right? In the cemetery. That's why ritual, ceremony, they are cathartic. They are a signal to your brain, okay, that's it. You're never gonna see this person ever again. It's done, right? So do the same thing with these traumatic events in your life, right? So just give it a go. Lots of compassion. Be kind to yourself while you do this, before, during, and after. Think of this inner child, this precious child that has been through so much. You have been through so much as a child, right? Compassion, love, mother yourself. And don't tell nobody you're doing this, that you're healing yourself, because someone will try to stop you from doing so. They won't understand why you're trying to move away from them. Keep that in mind, very important. So before I go, before I leave you on that with that that little ritual, I might I feel one coming for me. So anywho, I found these appropriate quotes from Buddha. And yes, they oddly fit in perfectly with the inner child healing. And it's something for you to contemplate, right? Pain is certain, suffering is optional. There is no path to happiness. Happiness is the path. You will not be punished for your anger. You will be punished by your anger. No one saves us but ourselves. No one can. And no one may. We ourselves must walk the path. Thank you, Buddha. That was very good. So just contemplate those things, right? You don't have to suffer, it's optional. Yes, you're going to experience pain, but how you deal with this pain, how you care for yourself, because you're allowed to do that as an adult. You're allowed to mother yourself, you're allowed to care for yourself. When no one else did as a child. Think of this child of yours that needs this now while you're doing that. So I just want to thank you very much again for all the support just by listening, stopping by. Really, really appreciate it. Right? Thank you so much for listening, downloading, sharing, and we'll definitely continue that next time. I'll give you a few more things to do. Maybe it'll be just one. Maybe it'll be just, I don't know. I don't know. These things evolve as I put them down on paper and as I talk. And I, there's always stuff spirit brings up talk about this, talk about that. So you never know. You never know, but for sure, I'm going to give you some more of these little insights, little tips and tricks of what really, really helped me. Something that's not complicated, not expensive, but something that was very cathartic, something very helpful, right? To release these things and to bring, to soothe the inner child and to bring back this inner child, to have this inner child want to be back with you. So keep that in mind. So until next time, be well and please have compassion for yourself. Bye for now.